Tom Torero podcast 132 on Fool's Gold from a drizzly, damp, almost icy United Kingdom. I'm back here, I'm full of snot. I've got a heavy cold, so forgive the snuffling and any phlegm that will appear in this podcast. My voice has gone even more baritone. Maybe you like this. Maybe this is turning you on if you're listening in the dark with your eyes closed. Okay. What have I got to say before the topic of Fool's Gold, which is today on hot girls and how we can desensitize ourselves to that? First of all, about the documentary, it was meant to be released about today, but I'm probably a month or so behind, so it will be released with a premiere in London at the end of December, maybe beginning of January, but I hope the end of December. I'm editing it, then it has to be graded and sound has to be checked and motion graphics applied, la-di-da-di-da, but it's coming on now that I'm not distracted by being in Asia, my Asian invasion. Like I said, not really into Asian girls, definitely not into that Southeast Asian thing. I'm still having hot showers to cleanse myself from the filth, if you read the lay reports on the blog. But Japan, mind-blowing as ever in many other ways. So I'll be back in Japan in the autumn of 2018, probably. Maybe some skiing before, who knows. Secondly, cheers for all the suggestions guys were contributing to the YouTube comment section under that video, how I can help you, underneath the blog of the same name. I said, where are the gaps in all the stuff that I've put out there? Where are the gaps? And frustratingly, some guys were taking the lazy approach and saying, why don't you do more of this, or why don't you do more of this, when there's podcasts on that. Lots of guys were saying, I'd like to see infields of you, you know, doing MILFs or Muslim girls, or you in a coffee shop. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I spent 2016 recording. That is stealth seduction. And I know guys will go, well, I have to pay for that. But yeah, on the video, I explained why it's win-win, in that this is my life, this is my job, this is my business. So I spent a year making that product around the world. So if you really want to see me and you want to see all the breakdowns, and one guy said, I want to hear more than just the day game. Yeah, you can see the texts, you can see the dates, you can hear the post-sex stuff. So stealth seduction. But I take some of the stuff on there was really, really good. There was some really good suggestions about day game for older guys, 40 plus, analyzing student infields. So not just looking at my day game, but breaking down what students do, beginners and intermediates. That's a very good idea. I'll look at that next year when I've stopped thinking about the documentary, and when in January I shall release Below the Belt, that final book of lay stories for me. All right, Fool's Gold. Let's kick off with a quote by Napoleon, a classic day gamer, Mr. Napoleon. He said, a throne is only a bench covered in velvet. Think about that. A throne is only a bench covered in velvet. A hot girl, a 10, something intimidatingly beautiful. A throne is only a bench covered in velvet. So she's human, okay? Her physiology, her vagina, behaves just like any other girl. So we'll talk about the definition of a 10, how we can overcome this final hurdle. If you've been doing day game a long time and you're okay with the 7s and you've got some 8s and maybe one or two lucky 9s, but you still feel that inferiority, that fear. You feel like you have to game somehow differently. So we'll talk about that. And I've said in the past, a 10 really is a girl you think you can't get. Because when you see a girl with your wing, or you're with me on a coaching session and you go, fuck man, look at that 10. Jesus. Oh my God. What that's telegraphing to your wing or to me or to yourself is that's a girl you think is unobtainable for you. Now, I'm not saying beauty is subjective. I'm definitely saying there's no such thing as a 10. Because for men, evolutionary-wise, beauty is objective. It's quantifiable. This is why it's quite funny when guys say, I don't rate women. I just rate their personalities. I'm looking for quality girls. Well, men are hardwired visually. Yeah, we respond to very specific, obvious clues in female form. And girls are employed for their looks. If you think about models or strippers, it's a job. And with that normal distribution of the beauty, then sure, high female SMV, i.e. super hot girls, is a scarcity. And if you're aware of basic economics and sexual economics, then you know that scarcity increases value. It's just a supply and demand thing. So yeah, our genes want the best chance of being propagated in the future, and that would be with a hot mama. That's what your body is telling you to do. Find the hottest. Yeah, because you'll have hot babies. A hot Tom Torero with a hot Russian model. Oh my God, can you imagine the babies? And so therefore, yeah, there is hotness. But here's the trick. We have to learn to behave around those nines and tens like we do already around fours and fives. I've said that as well. That's the real definition of game, or that's the aim of the game. Think how you behave now around a four. And if you could replicate that around a nine or a 10, then bingo, you've solved the mystery. So this is a contradiction. It's frustrating that your body does deal differently with hotness, but we need to learn how to desensitize ourselves and behave in a different manner. And that's what the podcast is on today. I've had experience with hot girls. I always remember, I can't remember where this comes from, the definition of game being a girl who is 2 points hotter. But I can kind of understand that. That's kind of true. So if you're, let's say, just visually a male five and you're pulling sevens, then well done. Or if you're a male seven pulling nines, then well done. And if I think of me physically, visually, you know, I made that video, ugly guy gets girls. Let's say I'm a male four or a male five and I'm pulling sevens, then that's a 2 or 3 point difference. If I'm pulling eights, that's a 4 point difference. If I'm pulling a nine, that's a 5 point difference. So in the past, I've been pretty bloody happy. Now, I know male SMV is not just looks, thank God. It's charisma, it's confidence, it's swagger, it's all the stuff that game is. But in the past, I've pulled strippers. I've pulled a go-go dancer from Latvia. She was fucking hot. I've pulled models, both catwalk models and fashion models. I've done better with catwalk models. Quite a few skinny professional catwalk models. They make their money from doing that. I've pulled kind of waitresses that are employed for their looks. A Swedish TV presenter who was probably employed for her looks. And a singer in a famous Russian metal band who was probably famous because of her looks and not her aggressively thrash metal music. But yes, of course, if you look at the normal distribution, a pickup artist, any pickup artist, will sleep with a hell of a lot of sevens, some sixes, you know, but a hell of a lot of sevens, some eights, a few nines, and maybe one or two tens. Now, the ten is as you define it. Of course, there is objective beauty in that a Victoria's Secret casting agent or a photographer says, she's hot, she's not quite so hot. But I accept that some of you like black girls, some of you like Latino girls, some of you like Persian girls, some of you love Asian girls. It's not just a weasel where a lot of guys go to Asia because they don't feel worthy of day gaming French girls. But some guys, some of my mates genuinely love Asian girls. But not for me. You already know what I like. The Slavic look of Slovaks and Czechs, some Poles, Ukrainians, Russians, etc., etc. So yeah, when we're talking about the 10 today, you have to think, what's your ideal girl that you jerk off to? Who's your dream porn star? Who's your childhood fantasy? All right? And then we need to start thinking how we can knock her off the pedestal. Right, she doesn't need to know we're knocking her off. Don't need to verbally neg her so hard. But she has to sense this. Otherwise, there's this weird value discrepancy, which we'll come on to. Because if you put a girl on a pedestal, I've said, if you put a girl up there, she's automatically looking down on you. All right. It's to do with this purity fantasy, believing that women are fragile. It's the Madonna whore thing, that believing women are angelic, only some trashy women are slutty, and there's other high-quality girls that would never, ever do that kind of stuff. And you're putting the 10, certainly because of the scarcity, naturally, on a pedestal. And by the fact, as I said, of you going, fucking hell, man, oh my God, look at that, Jesus. You're encouraging your body to say, that's unobtainable. I'm not worthy. And it makes the other person feel weird. Think of it like this. If you're at a party and you're a millionaire, and or you're very famous and you're walking around and you're getting hounded by other people, and they seem friendly, but you can sense that they want something. You can sense that they're in awe of you. You can sense that there's an agenda and they're sucking up to you. Maybe they want your money, maybe they just want to be around you, but it's this weird leeching feeling that is a little bit tiring. Yeah. So in that party, if you saw another millionaire across the room, or you knew that there was a friend there who was another millionaire, you'd prefer to hang out with them. Because when a millionaire is around another millionaire, there's this equality of value that they both sense. So therefore, this is the important bit, they can relax around each other. Each one knows that the other one's not after his money. They both know that it's not what other people dream it's like, you know, so they can make jokes about their lifestyle. They can be a little bit more vulnerable and admit their weaknesses to each other. They can relax. That's the essential thing. So let's come back to the, you know, the objective 9 or 10. And she likes hanging around people who don't worship her. She longs to hang around people who just treat her normally, because you have no idea what it's like to be a female 9 or 10 who's age 19 or 21. You can try the old pickup experiment of creating a fake dating profile where you are coming across as a 19-year-old female model and just see your inbox, see how much you're hounded. But you'll never know, I'll never know what it's like to be a hot 19 Ukrainian catwalk model walking around London and just getting all this attention, all this stuff for free. Right? I've seen it with girls I've dated, and I've walked around with them and people open doors for them. People are super nice to them. People give them business cards. People offer them free shit. They walk into a coffee shop. They get a free cup of coffee. When she's going home on the tube, a guy will invite her to a fashion show. Then another older guy will invite her to a club or to go to Dubai or to Miami. So it fucks with their head. And if she's had that since she was 16, then it fucks with their head. And so many guys are behaving oddly around her that she craves just hanging around family members. She likes hanging around other hot females, so other models. She likes very much so hanging around gay guys who take the piss out of her and don't treat her like an angel. Yeah. She likes hanging around photographers, let's say. Photographers in the fashion business that see models every few minutes with their clothes off and also don't worship them. Yeah. And this is why she loves hanging around and fucking and dating bad boys who don't pedestalize her, who don't treat her differently. It's a bit like in game. This is a good analogy. If you have a wing who is a beginner and you're intermediate or above, there's a bit of the leeching dynamic, or, you know, the beginner, and it's not his fault, but he's in awe of what you do. So the balance is a bit odd and you feel it. It's much better to game with a wing who's kind of at your level, maybe a little bit better, so you don't have this hero worship odd discrepancy of value. You'll know what that leeching's like. Now, let's really think about the 9 or the 10 and why I said it's fool's gold, based on, you know, all that glitters is not gold. Because if you have dated strippers or catwalk models or really pretty girls that are employed in bars, you know, go-go dancers, whatever, you've seen them in another light. You've seen them without their makeup. You've seen them after you've fucked them hard and their makeup's, you know, run down their face, or they've slept over. You've seen them at 7 o'clock in the morning. You've seen her naked. This is interesting, you know. Oftentimes we fantasize more about girls who are semi-naked, like in underwear commercials or in strip clubs, than when a girl's got her kit off. Many girls look similar. Like the old saying, a pussy's a pussy, yeah? Once you're inside her, you know, yeah, you look down at her hot face, but you fuck her 3 times, 5 times, you fuck her for a couple of months, and the novelty wears off, even if she's that dream 9 or 10, okay? Girls are wearing skirts, girls are wearing heels, girls are spending so much time on makeup, girls are on the dance floor in a club where there's flashing lights, and you're going, fuck, look at her, she's super hot. So take a step back. I always remember this girl I day-gamed and then slept with in Moscow. She worked as a club promoter. And when I first saw her in a shopping mall, she was getting ready, I think, to go to her night job. And she looked stunning in the heels. She had her hair done, you know, the tight skirt, the makeup. I was like, fuck, man. And actually, before I slept with her once, I went to pick her up. I went to her block of flats, and then we left her flats onto the metro and we went somewhere, I can't remember where. But when I picked her up, she was embarrassed about letting me into her apartment. Eventually she did, and I realized, not surprising for the former Soviet Union, she lived in a kind of Soviet apartment block. The apartment was tiny and run down and squalid, and she was sleeping on a mattress on the floor, sharing her room with another girl, another promoter. And it was so basic, and you know, there were clothes crumpled in the corner. This certainly wasn't the glitzy 9 or 10 image that you see when you spot that girl in a club or on a TV commercial or dancing on the stage. So remember that. Sure, a girl without her makeup can be knocked down a few points. There are girls who are naturally beautiful who don't need makeup. That's the good morning test. What does she look like without makeup? But many girls, you'd be shocked if you saw them without makeup. Don't fall. This is the classic one. Definitely don't fall for Instagram. Right? Don't fall for social media photos. And guys will number close a girl and then they'll get her on Facebook or add her on Instagram, and they'll spend hours trawling through the pictures with, you know, 20,000 likes. And there seems to be this very natural shot of the girl coming out of the swimming pool, flicking her hair, and he passes the photo around to his wings and he says, fuck, look at her, man. She's a 10. Now, what's this doing? A, you shouldn't be obsessing about her social media, because, again, you're saying she's unobtainable, she's unobtainable. You shouldn't really be passing around photos of girls you haven't fucked, because that always sets you up for a fall. And more importantly, you know that that is the showreel, the highlight reel of her life. We all know that Instagram's not how people live their lives, but girls in particular, they take 1,000 photos, choose one, then they edit it and apply loads of filters. This is why girls have a better understanding of photography. Often girls own better cameras. Girls know more about photo editing and light because they're so aware that their sexual market value is visual. So definitely don't fall for a girl's Instagram. And let's drill down a bit more into what's really going on. Let's come back to the purity fantasy or the Madonna whore thing. And why a guy who's only, let's say, slept with 3 or 4 girls in his life, maybe the national average, not the national average, the global average, I think, is 7 girls per guy in his life. And he's had long-term relationships, he's had a couple of marriages, he's not sexually experienced, he's only slept with 6s and 7s. So he's not in the secret society. So I think many guys genuinely don't really know the reality of females. They don't know what females get up to. This is why they think they're pure, they're snowflakes, and they worship them. He doesn't see the literal filth of what girls do, what girls fantasize about, how girls behave. That's all my secret society stuff, which will, below the belt, will be about. And women kind of like the fact that these guys don't get it, that they don't know about it, because therefore the guys keep coming back, providing for them, protecting them. It's a female strategy. I don't think it's a conscious, wicked strategy. It's just, you can understand, a girl doesn't want to be seen in a bad light by a guy that she might marry. Yeah, so those beta guys, they often say not all women are like that. There are good girls, you know, there's the K-selected girls. I'm looking for a quality woman. Only these whores, only these cheap sluts respond to pickup artists and same day lays and day game. Well, my friends, you simply don't know about Charles Manson and his cult and the normal middle class women that were attracted to murderous, psychotic Charles Manson. I've spoken about Dark Triad and stuff before, but we need to get over this idea that only damaged women are attracted to fast sex and pickup artists, and only damaged women do kinky things. Yeah, this shows that you lack real world knowledge of women. So that's why I say, before you settle down, go on and get 30 notches. If you want, get 50. If you if you love sex like I do and you're not going to slow down or stop, get 100, get 200, get 300, right? It really opens your eyes to the true nature of women. You don't judge them, because I've seen lawyers, doctors, I've seen hairdressers, catwalk models, 18-year-olds, 35-year-olds, and how they behave when the door is closed, what they do, okay? And it takes away this idea that they're marble statues in a museum or fragile snowflakes. So we need to get over that. We need to see how women really are. And that helps with the glittering gold thing, yeah? Now, I know it's a catch-22, because if you've only ever slept with three girls in their sixes, then you don't feel entitled to nines and tens. That's why I say to newbies, especially if you're sexually inexperienced, stop being so bloody fussy. Don't you go going for the nines immediately. Okay, if you want to try, fine. But if you're virginal or you've slept with three girls, then sleep with a few sixes. Then spend a long time, like a lot of pickup artists do, in seven heaven. Okay, have a lot of experience with sevens. And then get some eights below the belt. And then you'll stumble upon some nines or maybe your dream ten. Okay, but hopefully after you fuck that dream 10 for 4 or 5 months, she might seem like an 8 or a 7. And then if you want to keep fucking her, then things like, is she cool? Is she fun? Is she annoying? Then that stuff comes into play, because you fucked her 20 times. And then I start thinking, do I want to hang around her? And it's at that stage you can start thinking, okay, her personality, her character is a bit weird. It doesn't work the other way. Guys are going, I'm looking for a girl with perfect personality. I'm not interested in looks. Yes, you are. Okay, that's a weasel for not approaching girls. Guys go, I would never approach a cheap hairdresser. I need a good conversation. No, you don't. You need a blowjob. You need to get laid. You need to destroy this purity fantasy. Yes, look behind the curtain. Do you remember in The Wizard of Oz? And behind the curtain is just that man pulling all the strings. I remember the first catwalk model I slept with, this Slovak catwalk model princess in London. And at the time, I think before I fucked her, she told me how she obviously had stable boyfriends, but the guy she loved fucking the most at that time was this mechanic back in Slovakia. And I was a bit puzzled by this, because she seemed so pure and squeaky clean. And I said, why do you, you know, why is this guy appealing? She said, because he's simple, he drives a van. And when he picked her up from the airport last time, he took her Louis Vuitton bag and he threw it in the back. And she squealed with delight. He didn't even know what it was. So there you go. He's not putting her on a pedestal. He doesn't give a shit that she's a catwalk model in London, Paris and Milan. He probably remembers her when she was a bratty teenager at school. So, to finish, let me look at the time. 8 minutes. Gosh, this podcast is flying by. I want to go through some tricks, practical things you can do to mentally knock her off the pedestal. Yep. Remember, like I've said before, number one, that girl shits. That girl has smelly feet. That girl eats junk food. That girl farts. That girl burps. So when you're looking at her on the street or on the date or she's back at yours, you can, if you want, imagine her smelly feet. Imagine her stuffing her face with a kebab. Imagine her puking. Imagine the fact that she shits every day. Her shit doesn't smell of roses, all right? There's no petals and stars coming out of her backside. She is human. Second thing, go to a place where you can desensitize. So if you're in a tiny British town or a tiny American city, then go to somewhere where there's a concentration of girls, more girls that are your type, that are your nines and tens. So for me, that's Moscow. And I'm surrounded by nines and tens, and over 2 or 3 weeks, I get more desensitized, okay? Third thing, with hot girls, remember to qualify them, because they're very used to guys sucking up to them, so you can qualify them on their height, on their eye color, their hair color. Say, you're cute, but, you know, can you cook? What are your passions? I like interesting girls, all my qualification stuff. They're not used to chasing guys, and they love it. And also very hot girls, especially girls that work in the fashion industry, are very sensitive to their body image. So they're very sensitive to the size of their feet or the size of their hands or that little mole on her chin. All right, now you're not nagging her, you're not being cruel, but just act like a fashion photographer. Not impressed, All right, sure, you're hot, but what else have you got going on for you? That's classic mystery method qualification. Next point, I've said before in videos, remember, however hot she is, whoever she is, somebody is fucking her for free. All right, she might have rich provider sugar daddies, but who's the mechanic or who's the guy in McDonald's, the bad boy, fucking her for free? All right, so she says she's not fucking anyone. She says she's single. Hot girls are never single. Hot girls have two or three guys that they're fucking. So try and imagine the guy that she is fucking, that she is really turned on by. Don't think that she's virginal. Yep. Next point that I've already said, don't look at her Facebook photos. Don't look at her Instagram, especially before a date, because it's like looking up at a mountain summit and you're just getting paranoid and anxious and feeling unworthy. So don't do it. Instead, before the date, imagine her either fucking the builder or the fact that she's taking a shit. All right? Visualization for you. Next point. Don't go, she's a 10, man. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that with wings. Don't get into the habit of doing that. She might objectively be a 10. Once again, I'm not saying beauty is subjective. But that's a bad mental game to play. So reframe it. When you see her on the street with your wings, say, she's hot, but well, look at her pencil legs. Or she's hot, but she's got sticky out ears. Or she's hot, but God, I bet she's got smelly feet. Yeah, reframe, reframe, reframe. Next point, I've already said, if you're in scarcity, don't just go looking for nines. What a weasel, right? Start with sixes, then go to sevens, then go to eights. That's what all day gamers do. And finally, over time, like I used to say in Badass Buddha, I want you to become a female 10. I don't mean you need to wear a skirt and heels and audition for Victoria's Secret, but I mean you must act like a female 10, all right? You must have that amused mastery about you. You must qualify other people. You must, first of all, seem like you have abundance, and eventually you must have abundance. And when you have this nonchalant, laissez-faire attitude about you, she'll sense it. Do you remember the two millionaires at the party? She'll sense that there's a lack of value discrepancy, and that will be attractive to her. That's why you have to treat girls that are nines and tens just like you would fours and fives. All right, you tease them. You can do a bit of false disqualification. You have to make a chase. You have to flip the script. And I know it's hard, because when I am still on a date with a nine or a ten, this year I fucked a fashion model in South America. I slept with a webcam stripper in Poland. I've just slept with a model, so a full-time job in Japan. When you're on a date with them and you're looking at a hot girl, of course, your body, your dick knows it, and you act differently. If there was a camera on me with those girls as opposed to like a 7 or an 8, you'd see differences. So maybe I'm not challenging her enough. Maybe I'm sucking up to her. Maybe I'm leaning in a bit. Maybe my voice is different. Maybe I'm too keen. But you have to know you're doing it, and then you can say, okay, Tom, calm down, lean back, look at that piece of spinach she's got stuck between her teeth. Imagine her at 4 in the morning. Imagine the guy that she is fucking, okay? If you can behave around a 10 like you already do around that chubby girl at work, then you have won, okay? Because physiologically, in an evolutionary sense, the way she's wired, all women are the same, all right? So that's really, really important to focus on. And finally, something which you might not have considered is that hotter girls can often be more insecure than the girl next door 7. Yep. Because of all of that attention since she was 16, I found that the real hotties, the 9s and the 10s, are often messed up. Girls in fashion industries are often messed up because they haven't needed a personality. They haven't needed any humor. They haven't needed to be likable. They've never had feedback from reality. This is the point, because guys will do anything. I mean, girls behave around them differently. Girls are often catty to each other because they know the secrets of push-up bras and makeup and stuff. But she's never had to deal with reality, not until she's in her 30s. When the shit hits the fan and people realize she does shit. So they're often weird and they're often insecure, and they've often been easier or as easy to sleep with than sevens. You might get more aggro, you might get more LMR, token LMR from a seven, And it's weird. It doesn't seem to make any sense because you're like, fucking hell, she's a nine. But she has issues, all right? I remember the Latvian go-go dance that I slept with in Barcelona. After I had slept with her a few times, I realized there were other girls that turned me on more. Because just because she's a 9 or a 10 doesn't mean you're sexually compatible, doesn't mean she's good in bed. Maybe she's never had to learn to be good in bed. She lies back like a starfish. That one did. I've had more sexual compatibility with 7s and 8s. There's that weird word of chemistry, yeah? So, once again, don't think that because she's a 9 or a 10, she's the one who you're going to marry. First, you should fuck her for a couple of months and then see her crumpled clothes on the floor, see the makeup running down her face, hear her farting in bed, hear her belching, and then, sure, we can stop this idea of everything that glitters being gold. That was 30 minutes on the dot. Look at that professionalism. That was podcast 132. I don't know where I'm going to be next week, but I will be editing the Day Game documentary. Until next time, goodbye.